Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about mindfulness, spicing up your summer sex, and we've got this month's Astro Sex Forecast. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
This month, you're supposed to be saying, this is how I want it, this is when I want it, this is who I want it with, make it happen.
My girlfriend of almost 2 years and I were thinking of possibly bringing other people into the bedroom.
Pool noodles are your friend when you go to have sex outside.
I will never look at a pool noodle the same way. No.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. That's what we do on every show. I want you guys to be thinking about, how am I bringing pleasure into my life? What does pleasure even mean? I mean, I don't know, until I started thinking about how many moments in my life are actually pleasurable and how many are stressful or things I have to do or should do. But when you really start prioritizing pleasure, your own pleasure, and I'm not just talking sex, although it helps, you're going to realize that you're going to want to liberate the conversations. You're going to want to tell your partner or your friends, I'm taking time for myself, and here's why. That's my mission here, you guys. Making pleasure a priority and having conversations around sex intimacy so we're all in this together. All right, I've got two guests tonight, two people I adore. We have sex educator Elle Chase and psychological astrologer and sex educator Jen Fried to give some advice on relationships and sex. So I talked to Elle about a lot of things. We focus on mindfulness. And I gotta say, we cannot talk enough about mindfulness, especially in these times that we're in. Let me break down mindfulness for you. It doesn't mean you have to get out of your mind and stop having thoughts. It is a practice, and it's really more of a heart practice. It's like mind-body practice, because the reason why we're talking about mindfulness more is because we're all so freaking anxious right now. We get anxious during sex. We get anxious after sex. We get anxious at work. So here's something that you could do that's just really helpful if you want to like dip your toe in the mindfulness water. You're like, how do I even do it? If you think about it, the reason why we need to be mindful is to anchor in the present moment. Well, why? Well, typically, we're not mindful and we're not present because we're either obsessing about something that happened in the past, or we're so worried that something's going to happen in the future and it's going to be awful. Besides the fact that 99% of what we worry about never happens, we tend to do this over and over and over again because that is a pattern that we have learned. It's a survival pattern, you know, from our ancestors when we used to like hear leaves rustling in the bushes, you know, we'd be afraid it was like a lion, so we'd have to run. But now we just think something that might be disturbing and it can send our whole day into a tailspin. We are wired for protection and to get into anxious mode, fight or flight mode, but we're not there anymore. So we want to focus on the present moment. And how we do that, the best anchor is just to breathe. When was the last time you took a deep, purposeful breath? Like, you know what's helpful for me? I breathe in for 4 counts. And then I try to have my exhale be longer, like 6 counts. Okay. So just do it with me. So first we want to breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If your exhale is longer than your inhale, even by a few seconds, it has the physiological impact of calming your parasympathetic nervous system. And otherwise, we're in the fight or flight. So if you do that 5 times, you're going to feel much better. I already feel better. I just want to sit here and breathe. So that helps. Another exercise to do just to get you in the moment, because maybe you're anxious during sex, you're anxious on a call, you know, you're anxious wherever. So remember I talked about the past and I talked about the future where a lot of us are living? When I told you all that's not even true, what we worry about, we want to be present. So the best way to, bam, get yourself exactly in the present moment is to look around and to focus on your present environment. You can try the 3 rule where you can say, I'm going to name 3 things that I see right now. Okay? I see a water bottle, I see some flowers, and I see another water bottle. I have so many water bottles. And then you can think about 3 things that you're hearing. Okay, right now I'm hearing the buzz of the headset. I just heard someone outside say something. And I heard someone else on the other side window. Okay, so I heard 3 different things. And then you could say 3 things that you're smelling, right? I just anchored myself in my senses. Get it? So right now, I am so present. I see my water. I smell my... And so you could even do that with 5 senses. You could say, what am I hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling and touching? All of these things help you be present. And then you realize that whatever you're worried about in the past or the future is gone. And then you can operate and move forward. And that's what mindfulness is about. I'm just going to tell you this. It's a practice. So meaning I might have to do that 10 times a minute to really be present at first. But if you think about it, our minds are practiced to live in the past and the future, and that doesn't serve us. I just told you that 99% of what you worry about doesn't happen. So why not just take a moment and just commit that I'm going to try to be mindful for 5 minutes a day by breathing or by noticing things in the environment or just listening to my breath. Because that's how we build new neural pathways in our brain that serve us and not the ones that are getting us all anxious about having too many water bottles on the table. Those are just some exercises. And listen, it helps me to check in at different times throughout my day to really help ground me. And I even have notes on my computer right now in front of me. It says, breathe. I have another one that says, meditate. And you don't have to do the whole exercise, but they're reminders. And you can ask yourself, how do I feel right now? Am I excited? Am I nervous? Starting to name your feelings. And also it happens during sex too. We may have trouble in the bedroom. It's okay to check in with ourselves and say, what am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling my partner's hands on my body. I'm smelling their hair. I'm tasting their lips. And then you go right back to the moment. Because so many of us are not only having anxiety in our life, but we're having anxiety in the bedroom. So L. Chase and I also take calls from listeners about spicing up their sex life, how to get adventurous with summer sex. I mean, come on, aren't we all camping this year? First, though, I'm joined by Sex with Emily regular, Dr. Jen Fried, for her monthly Astro Sex Forecast. As usual, she covers every sign, and then my staff jumps in to ask Jen for specific astro sex advice. So don't miss all of this and more after this quick break. Hi, Jennifer. Should we go through our forecast?
Yeah, let me go think? Through. Because,
let's get that. Let's, you guys, pay attention right now. And let me tell you this. If you have questions, maybe you want to know about your chart, what the signs have in store for you. Jen is an expert. She not only comes on our show every month, she's the psychological astrologer to Goop and to many people. She's been doing this for over 30 years, and we love Jen. Okay, Jen, what's going on?
We're going to roll through this because Mars, the planet of sexuality, is in the sign of Aries, which is all about this tempestuous, passionate energy. So we're going to start with Aries and say, normally Aries is the hot button. Let's do it. Let's go. But the theme for this month for all the signs is courage. So for Aries, you need to have the courage to back it up and really get curious about what other people desire and what they want, and pause, reset, and train yourself to their desires. Taurus, now for you, you like habits and routines, and you can get a little bit stuck in the mud sometimes. This is the month to do things you've never done before with yourself or others. Just absolutely try something new as often as possible and get out of the rut. Gemini, this month, your job is to be versatile. Normally, I'd tell you, don't be so distracted. I say, in fantasy or in reality, go with multiple partner scenarios. Think about what is the sexiest question you could ask each person you have a fantasy about, and actually ask them. Cancer, for you, it's all about being the boss. Normally, you're the one that's helping and nurturing, but this month, have people do what you say. Have people serve your needs. Be the mama boss you've always wanted to be, male or female or they. Leo, this month for you is about letting go of the need to be the star and be the character supporting role. Make the other people in your life, the ones you're most attracted to, be the stars of their show, and you're there to be supporting their every glamorous wish. Virgo, this month for you is about slowing down to dream the world anew inside your sex life. Normally you're into the details. Try to merge into the unknown and just be in one flow state of just blissful sexual tension. And then we have Libra, normally the diplomat. This month, you're supposed to be saying to people, this is how I want it. This is when I want it. This is who I want it with. Make it happen. Scorpio, your job this month is to be very committed to all parts of your sexual palette. Shame has no place for you, Scorpio, this month. If you like it kinky, if you like it conservative, if you like it all different ways, say yes to all your sexual alter egos and give them some way to express themselves. Sagittarius, with courage being what you're really about, take a journey. Go somewhere you've never been before and allow yourself to have sexual fantasies or questions about things you've never considered. Break out of your worldview. Capricorn, wow, you've been under so much stress and pressure. I'd say it's masturbation miracle every day for you. Like you really want to let off the steam and you want to make sure that you're getting your sexual appetite completely met by being embodied every day. Don't just make work your life. Make sex your primary concern and work from there. Aquarius, it's a full moon in Aquarius right now. So I would say to the Aquarians, courage for you means treasuring yourself, knowing you have irresistible charisma, not letting anyone downplay your beauty or your sexual appeal. Step it up, Aquarius. And finally, Pisces. Normally the one that's just, whatever you say, let me be very sensitive to you. Let me make sure you're feeling okay. Be a little haughty and naughty. Instead of needy, be greedy. Pisces, this is your turn. It's your turn to be the most desired in the way you want it. And there's your sex forecast for this month.
I think that's such a great inspiration to everybody just to be like, what can you do differently this month, whether if you're alone or with a partner? Like one thing. Sometimes it's just one thing. We forget that it doesn't have to be a whole production to get your needs met or to bring that spark back.
And also, you know, for me, always the challenge, because I have what's called a Taurus moon, as you do, Emily, and it means we get into emotional ruts and routines sometimes. It could just be change your body position, change your hand, change your hairstyle. I mean, it doesn't have to be galactic, but I mean, it's up to us to like make ourselves more interesting to ourselves.
Dr. Jennifer Fried is still here hanging out with me for a second. She's talking astrosex forecast, and we just went around all the signs to tell you what to expect. But my team, because we are so excited she comes on every month, have some questions of their own. So producer Christina Rosa has a question.
So my question is, my husband and I have been looking at buying houses, but we don't know if right now is a good time considering he's a Gemini, I'm a Libra. And, you know, I obviously very much look into astrology as a guide for me. So is it a good time for us, or should we think about, because he's also thinking about another job. So I don't know if that's something we should even think of.
What's your exact birthday, Christina?
October 16th. I was born at night. I was born at 9:25 p.m.
Okay. Here's the bottom line. The whole world for the next 5 months is in a complete overhaul. And if you two feel very secure in your jobs and in your trajectory, then there's no reason for you not to buy a big house. Just any house. But on the other hand, know that there's going to be so much upheaval. Do you want to be buying and moving when everything is up in the air in the world? Because it's a time of incredible duress. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I were both of you, I'd wait till January or February and see how things shake out before I would get involved with a big change.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thanks, Christina. Okay, Ovi. Ovi's got a question.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Ovi.
Well, I was first going to ask you, I have two kind of questions. One of mine is, I have an Aquarius sun and moon. And I was kind of wondering, like, how having a sun and moon in the same sign, like, what that means.
Well, the sun is your basic outer identity, and the moon is your inner self. So if your sun and the moon are in the same sign, it basically means your inner and outer are the same, which is both fantastic because you know who you are and you feel who you are. But sometimes it gives you a narrow view of other people because you're so enclosed in yourself. So with a sun and moon in Aquarius, which is, in my opinion, a great combination, it means you're very much in touch with the world and with ideas, but you would have some work to do to really get more personal and much more subjective because you think more in broad terms. So you want to learn how to get into people's small lives and understand them as well as the big picture.
Thank you so
much. How's
that feel?
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Ovi. Okay, we've got one more. Megan has a question, our call screener, about...
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
You've got a great smile, by the way.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. So I'm a Cancer, and I've had like a pretty big year, like a lot of big changes, and I want to know what can I expect with the full moon coming up?
Okay, tonight's the full moon. That means the sun is in the opposite sign of the moon. So we have the sun in Leo, the moon in Aquarius. Whenever there's a full moon, this is a fact, there's more crime and more emergency mental illness things because everyone is in a heightened state of emotional intensity. Mm-hmm. So what I like to do on a full moon is ground in what visions and what life I want to create for myself. So instead of acting out or having big conversations, take that moon, that full moon energy, and put it within and really concentrate on manifesting the desires and the life that you truly want. And maybe even write it out, like candles, bring out the crystals. The worst thing to do on a full moon is to get too high or wasted because it's so intense, or to have some big conflict conversation. A full moon, if you think of it metaphorically, is like the mother coming way into existence and then pull her into your heart and say, this is what I most wish for my life.
Mm. That's amazing.
How's that sound?
Megan, are you going to do it?
I am. Absolutely.
I am so writing shit down tonight. Thank you, Jen.
Yeah, it's a great time to reflect because especially we forget this. Go out at midnight tonight. That moonlight is just like drinking heaven. It's so beautiful. and put it into your heart and make wishes on that full moon.
I love this. Okay,
thank you, Jen.
I'm going to do all that tonight. I just love the full moon ritual. And I always think people think, oh, what's Emily talking about sex and astrology? You know, there are so many. It's not even just like some woo-woo thing. Like, I actually have learned so much from you, Jen. But there's really a lot to be said for the ritual of a new moon. You know that it comes every month. You know right. That it's going to happen. And for me to really recognize it, it's been very busy the last few months and I haven't as much, but when I do make an intention on the moon, it's just something to kind of set the month by, the intention to really get grounded. Even if you just do it for 10 minutes, it really makes a difference. And I'm going to stay up till midnight tonight.
You just had me realize that the full moon is like the divine orgasm. It is actually the big O of the cosmos. It totally is.
How did we not realize this?
Well, I always trip out with you, Emily, because you like get my mind going. I'm like, this is all about the orgasm. The full moon is like when we're exploding with feeling. What is better than that sense of being full, completely full and satisfied?
It is a cosmic orgasm. Wow.
Okay, and Jen, it's a moment.
It's a moment in time. Okay, Dr. Jen Fried, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so thrilled to be your guest.
I love it, Jen. So people can find you at jenniferfried.com and at Dr. Jennifer Fried on Instagram. Thanks, Jen Fried. I love getting these monthly updates. Now I know what I got to do. Okay, we'll be right back with Elle Chase. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. So you guys might remember that July is Sexual Liberation Month. It's part of sexual liberation. It's like you get to choose what you're into sexually. How do you open that up? Like, we're all free to make choices for ourselves, lead the sex lives we want to have the relationships we want to have. And we might make all these choices in our life, but we're still not liberated if we are constantly being controlled by that negative self-talk in our head. And we all have it. I have it too. And that goes something like this. And this is why I'm so excited to welcome my guest, because, you know, we get to the bedroom, we're fooling around with someone, we're in the moment, and we're like, all we can think of is, oh, I hate the way I look, or hope they don't notice this thing about me, or can the kids hear me? I mean, whatever it is, we're in our heads all the time. But think about it. What if you were free from that voice? What if you could learn to embrace your own pleasure, right? And to engage in activities that truly give you pleasure. So my longtime friend and fellow sex educator, Elle Chase, is here. She is the author of the acclaimed book, Curvy Girl Sex. Welcome to the show, Elle Chase.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We have a call, so I'm going to take it. We got Trevor, 43, in Arizona. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you? How can I help?
I'm really good. My girlfriend of almost 2 years and I, my girlfriend of 2 years, we're thinking of possibly bringing other people into the bedroom, and my girlfriend is early 20s, I'm early 40s, and we fantasize about it, we talk about it, and we are considering maybe making plans for it, but I don't know if it's a good idea, even though we like the idea of it.
Right.
And I'm wondering what your take is on it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Trevor. This is such a good question, because you did say some of the things I recommend is for couples to make sure, because, you know, we don't know until it happens. And I try to set couples up for success in this way. And one of the things I say is fantasize about it, like do some dirty talk when you guys are just the two of you and talk about picturing that third person there. So it sounds like you've done that. And it's never a good idea to like try to talk ourselves, our partners into it. Like we should have a threesome, right? So tell me where you're both at with it. Like, is it the kind of thing that she brought it up, you brought it up? How did it come to be?
You know, it's been over a year that we've actually talked about it. And so I'm trying to remember how it was brought up, but it was very casual and it wasn't a surprise to either one of us. You know, it kind of goes both ways, meaning I kind of am curious about, you know, male to male contact, and she's curious about female to female contact too. So it's like, we're both kind of like up for, let's see what happens kind of a thing, you know? So, neither one of us have a lot of bugaboos. We're just kind of, you know, trying to feel it out. And I just wanted to know if there's any, you know, pitfalls or things that we really need to be wary of.
You're asking all the right questions. I mean, the first thing is to decide like what kind of partner. You said you might be interested in being with a male. She might want a female. And then also setting as many boundaries ahead of time as you can and rules, for example, like talk through, you know, is there anything that's off limits, for example, or anything that is a requirement? Like we got to use protection. You know, are there certain sex acts? What do you do when it's over? Do you want the person to sleep over? How do you find the person?
Right.
I mean, I think it's great to have someone that you're both attracted to. Also, having a safe word. You know, you never know how you're going to feel until you get into the situation. But then you could think, like, what's your safe word? Like, is there like a word you could say or something? Because if one of you get uncomfortable and you want it to stop. And I think talking through these things with your girlfriend and saying, like, what do you picture? How do you guys, like, elaborating on the fantasy? How do you actually picture it going down? Like, what are the things that are happening? Have you guys covered any of those bases?
And is there, we started to kind of plan it out, you know, so to speak. And I guess my biggest concern is it a recipe for disaster for my relationship with my girlfriend? Because that's above all else, that's the most.
Well, tell me what you picture there. Okay. So what would be the, because everyone's recipe for disaster is very different. So Trevor, what to you would mean disaster?
I guess honestly, if she were to lose interest in, you know, in me, sexually by myself and just want that type of scenario only, get away from her and I being able to be intimate together and have that level of intimacy, you know. I want to do it like in addition to, not a replacement of, you know.
Well, that's always a risk, right? Like I think you just nailed it. The biggest fear that we have is like, oh my God, I bring in a third and my partner falls in love with the third. You know, I think it's unlikely, you know, so totally you're on the right page. Have you talked to her about your fear around it or your concern?
A little bit, you know, not in these terms quite yet. So, you know, we're enjoying the fantasy and we're enjoying the talk and we do the dirty talk and you know, it is getting to the point where we're starting to kind of consider plans. So I was like, you know, I am able to listen to you like once a week and I'm like, you know, I need to ask Emily, what should I do? Is it something where she just says, absolutely not. This is a recipe for disaster entirely. Or are there safe ways to go about it and still preserve our relationship? So I think just having that conversation with her and expressing my concerns is definitely the next step.
That's my first step. And no, I'm never going to tell someone, oh, no, terrible. I know there are some people that are like, oh, that's a terrible idea. Not if you cover these grounds. And again, maybe another recommendation would be like, you know, keep it a shorter session. You know, don't make it at all, you know, if you can, or saying like, we're not going to see the same person twice. and then kind of having an aftercare session where you discuss it and you really kind of break it down into how you both felt. Because if you both feel like you got something out of it, then you can even make the next one better. I have another sex educator with me, Elle Chase. Any other recommendations that you'd recommend?
I think the communication is a great idea. And I also think maybe sitting down and coming up with what the rules would be, what you would feel uncomfortable with, what you would feel comfortable with. Some people I know will say we can just have sex. We can't go out and have, you know, drinks with them, or there's no kissing, or there's no penetration, or something like that. You come up with a really sort of a clear line of what's okay and what's absolutely not okay. And then how you're going to communicate at the time if something comes up that you haven't talked about.
That's great. That's definitely something I haven't thought about. And, you know, doing that safe word, like you were saying too. So that's huge.
Cover all of that. But I think you guys are pretty close. You know, we're rooting for you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the help.
Of course. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Okay. So I first, you know, I think we can get into an email. This came in. We want to answer it. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to have Ellen talk about this, because we always talk about your book, Curvy Girl Sex. And I thought, let's help Michael 24 from Washington. And you guys know that you can always email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. So Michael says, my fiance and I are a little on the bigger side. We pretty much do the same position all the time because I just feel too small to do the other positions like doggy style, etc. Any advice?
It's a very common question about doggy style, about receiver on top, all of those kinds of things. And what I usually tell people is utilize pillows first and foremost. And I'm not just talking your bed pillows, the kind you sleep on. Use something that has like industrial foam in it, like your living room couch pillows, something that can take weight, or get a Liberator pillow that is meant for sex, or Pillow by Dame, I believe, has a great sort of wedge pillow. And that will prop you up a little bit. So when you have someone who has a bigger stomach, say, for example, they can put this wedge under their hips and it lifts them up a little bit. The stomach moves backwards towards the head to make the access a little bit easier. And then you want to make sure that the general area is nice and open so that anything can go on there that you want it to go on, with a toy or a penis or whatever, hand. That's sort of really the key. So pillows strategically placed, and that is great also for doggy, to lay down on that wedge with the thicker wedge side towards one's stomach. And then the giver has the whole backside to play with, to open it up, to make it more more available, as it were. So that's a really good way to play with different positions, whether it be a modified missionary position or receiver on top, or, you know, bent over, anything like that. Is a wedge pillow or pillows are your best friend when it comes to plus size sex, or for anyone, actually.
It's so true. I always mention pillows, but I love to bring them up because it's like, everyone just take a pillow. I love the idea of a pillow from your couch.
Yeah,
because they are the better elevation, a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
So what about, something, you know, like, what I love about your book? There are some, I just love that there's just some other positions for people who just might even just want to be mixing it up. It's not just like curvy bodies. It's like for all bodies.
It's for all bodies. Yeah.
So for example, when he says that he feels like, you know, that he might be too small for doggy style, for example, like you've got this, like, what about something like, I love this, like threading the needle. I'm going to show this to the threading the needle.
Yeah, that's a great one. That is the receiver on their back with their legs together and moved to one side on top of the giver's shoulders. And that leaves the giver some hands to work with. So by having their hands free and available, they can spread open the thighs, spread open the cheeks, the vulva lips, all of that.
Yes.
And also it puts the receiver's positioning makes it easier to get into, and makes it also a lot tighter. so yeah, that it exactly. feels a lot snugger.
Right. And then also you have it like with the side set, like you could even move your mm-hmm. both of your legs side to the saddle. Other side of their head even, and then be squeezing like the thighs together. So it is a little bit tighter.
There's a position in the book called the OHM, O-H-M, and it's really meant for people who are using their hand or feel that they're on the smaller side of the penis range. And what it is it's that receiver laying down on their back with their legs together swung all the way over so that it's laying on the bed. So you're kind of twisting your side a little bit, and it really closes up that canal or that anus, whatever you're going into. Whatever hole works.
Pick your orifice.
Yes, whatever. And I've heard a great response from people that it's not just a wonderful feeling for the receiver because it's such a different angle, but it's also a great way to get into a deeper position for those of those penis owners that really like to go deeper.
Because this is really what we're talking about, is that when we feel like we just can't feel it enough, we can't get in enough, it's just altering the positions that we just might not have thought about. Like, I almost picture like curvy girl sex, like cards that you could be like a deck of cards. Like, let's pull out this position to keep it by your bed even. Because even sometimes I'll be like, what was that position? What can I do? You know, we're such creatures of habit. We go into like missionary. Blah, blah. We don't think for the variations, which is why I love, you know, in your book that you have all these other ways. I even look at sometimes and like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. Like even making them all just a little bit different.
Yeah. And I always think too, when in doubt, use your hands more.
Yes.
If you think about it, your fingers have way more dexterity than we give them sort of credit for, and they can do so many more things. And if you incorporate your hands to give pleasure, along with everything else that you normally do, it just makes it sometimes a little bit more tactile and sensual and different.
Yeah. Our hands, man, they're just, it's funny because the other night we were talking about, you'll appreciate this. We were talking about a woman emailed and said that her jaw was hurting from oral, you know, and that's just like, are you doing the deep throat thing that you think is just expected of you?
Exactly. It's
like I have to choke on his piece. Like, use your hair. You could give a blowjob mm-hmm. with hands. You could give oral with any kind of oral with hands. It's just, we forget what great tools they are.
And also, I think too, what we forget is that our mouths are not meant to be opened that wide. You know what I mean? So of course it's going to feel uncomfortable. So, you know.
Or for that long, use what you got, you know?
Exactly.
You know, we got another call here. We got Bill 60 from Colorado. His wife is having a hysterectomy. What should he expect? Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for being there.
Sure. I'm here for you.
The situation is, I'm 60. My wife is 51. We just found out she's got some uterine fibroids, many and some of large size. So a hysterectomy has been recommended. And I'm just curious, hormone-wise, sexual-wise, what can I expect?
Well, I would also get a second opinion. I feel like sometimes hysterectomies are kind of like a go-to thing, and it's not always necessary. You might be able to avoid it. Like, there are alternatives. There's one, like, fibroids can be treated with a non-surgical procedure. I was just reading about this, called uterine artery embolization, that cuts off the fibroid's blood supply. And then another option is a myomectomy, which removes fibroids but spares the uterus. And I've just been hearing about, I'm not a medical doctor, Bill, but what I've been hearing and reading, maybe Elg, you can back me up on this, is that we need our Western doctors. Our doctors work hard. They're essential workers. But sometimes they rush to hysterectomies, and I just don't think it's the most suitable solution for everybody.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
Okay.
I do a lot of work with menopausal women, and I find that hysterectomy is the go-to for most gynecologists, and it actually does, it does a lot of good to do your own research and to get a second, even a third opinion.
Yes.
Because a hysterectomy is a major surgery, and it has repercussions hormonally that will possibly affect her for the rest of her life, and will definitely have some sort of repercussion for sex as well. That can all be mitigated. Yeah. But if you don't have to have one, if there's something else that's not as drastic, that's something to look into, I think.
Okay. It was discussed that it would try the, I think I'm pronouncing it right because I was on the speakerphone, laparoscopic first.
Yes.
To just remove the fibroids. Did I get that right?
Yeah, laparoscopic surgery. It's a newer surgery. You do need general anesthesia, but it only causes like tiny incisions. It can cause blood loss, and it does, I believe, has shorter hospital visits.
Okay, and because my wife has experienced severe cramping and very heavy bleeding.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I feel
some
like
some of these
yeah.
are the size of a kiwi and a lime, from what the doctor said from the MRI.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true, but I would still, like, that's the doctor's, like, oh, it's big, we got to remove it. And I'm just feeling, you know, Bill, you called in. I would just try to find another doctor in your area. I would maybe Google, like, Women's Health Clinic. You're in Colorado. I would do some research, you know. And I just think, from what I've been hearing lately, that we can just kind of, I wouldn't rush into it. And I'm sorry if she's having pain. I would really love you to get a second or third opinion.
I think definitely if they're saying laparoscopic first just to get rid of the fibroids, I would try that ahead
yeah.
of time. To try
Same.
And get rid of the fibroids and keep the uterus is what I would go for.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay. Just keep
right.
going. And there's no rush with it. I would go
look up was something embolism.
It's called uterine artery embolization, EMBOL.
Okay.
And
okay.
and so it's a uterine artery embolization, and so or a myomectomy. We could put this in the show notes. We forget about the show notes lately. We got a website at sexwithemily.com, and everything we talk about in the show, we actually put in the show notes there. So if you're ever like, what is that thing Emily said on the show the other night? You can check it there. So we can put some of these terms in for you as well. But
okay,
I'm going to send
you very
this
much.
To.
I appreciate
okay.
it.
Of course. Thank you. And let me know how it goes. You know, I'm here every night. So if you get a second opinion, you can call me back and we can discuss it because that's how I like to work with everybody.
Okay,
All
thanks.
Right. Have a great night. All right, more with Elle after the break. So Elle, this mm-hmm. summer is, so we're midsummer. I don't know. But this COVID thing, it's like, I don't know what's happening.
Can't.
But what I do
I know
is it's sunny out. It's summer. A lot of us have been cooped up at home with our partners, and maybe sex mm-hmm. has just been like less than stellar lately. We don't have mm-hmm. the highest libidos. We just, So what can we do right now to kind of reignite that flame?
I know. It's hard, right? It's challenging.
Yeah. It is.
It's hard to think of new things, but, I think, you know, one of the things I've been telling people, some people are going on road trips now okay. with their partners. And so they've been camping or whatever. And it's, you know, what can we do when we are camping? If we want to have sex, it's uncomfortable. It's, you know, and so I think an interesting thing to do if you're taking a road trip or even if you're going to have sex in the backyard and you want to be comfortable is, you know, take some pool noodles. And tie them together to make like a little pyramid. And there you have your wedge and you can bend over it. You can do many different things with it. You can also sort of tie them together to make a little, it'll look like a raft, but it'll be something that you can lay on top of or put into a sleeping bag. So pool noodles are your friend when you go to have sex outside. Is what
because you can
say.
Bend them and they kind of are like the wedge that we were talking about.
You can bend them. You can also cut them. So, you know, you cut them into, you know, equal lengths and stack them up and tie them together. And you've got yourself your own travel sex pillow.
I will never look at a pool noodle the same way.
No.
Curvy girl cunnilingus. Carlingus. Cunnilingus. Carling. Curvy yes. car cunnilingus.
Curvy car cunnilingus. You don't have to be curvy to enjoy this one. I personally love car sex. I have a thing for car sex. And so in the book, and you can just do it anyway, is just laying on your back, whether you're parked in your at your campground or in your garage or someplace where maybe someone will come in, but probably not. You have your partner lay down in the back seat and you've got a wide berth there and just bend down and start a sucking or start a licking. And it just adds this sort of almost a nostalgic feel to it. Like when you're a teenager and you're kind of making out in the car.
Yes.
And also it's just a new place to have sex. And that does a lot.
It does.
People who are bored.
It's sometimes it's just like a different, it's a different view. I mean, if you, we just, obviously the bedroom's easier and you have all your things there and you can just get naked. It's comfortable. But that's when the boredom sets in because there's no variety. And you're like, here we are in the bedroom doing the thing. But I love the idea of right now, especially because, you know, we can't really go many places, but you can go into your garage. And I just got turned on that. Like, that'd be so fun to have sex in the car. Maybe someone's going to walk by. Maybe we'll get right. caught. Maybe not.
Shopping malls are closed now. So maybe driving to the top of a parking structure at a shopping mall. I don't know. I'm just spitballing
here. Oh, my God. But there's still security.
Maybe.
Well, I remember being home in Michigan for the summer right after I graduated from college, but I was back home in Michigan visiting my family. And I think I had moved to San Francisco at that point, but I came home for, you know, holidays and I was with my boyfriend and I'm like, oh, look, here's my high school. And we pulled into the parking lot and it was dark. It was like holiday time. And we started having sex and the cops came up. And it was not. Oh. I'm like, oh. I never got in trouble in high school, really. But here I am having sex in the parking lot.
If you're going to get in trouble, that is
exactly
the one
having sex in the parking lot. So what else can we do? What about some things we can do that don't involve penetration? We have such a, like an idea that sex is all about the old in and out. It's not. Massage is another great way to sort of connect with your partner and to not rush right to the penetration that we talk about. Like, what if you each take 10 minutes and you set an alarm? If you're like, I can't massage, try 10 minutes. I promise you, I don't know about you, Elle, but every time I've gotten a massage, even times, you know, I've been like, oh no, I'm too stressed. Or let's just get to it. The second, like someone puts their hands on me and I don't have to do anything but lay there and breathe and feel it. I'm a different state. Like talk about changing your state and getting yourself in the mood and letting all the tension drift away because our, like the number one killer of our sex drive is stress and anxiety and worry. And on our own, it can be really hard to shake that off. So saying we're going to shower, we're going to use some of this, like buying yourself some beautiful like massage oil that you look forward to using together. Like, oh, can't wait to try this scent. It's like shopping for toys together. You really feel like it's like when you get a new shirt or your new jewelry, and you can't wait to go out and wear it. I feel like getting yourself, treating yourself to a new sexy toy, lingerie, something that makes you feel sexy and something to share with your partner. A toy, massage oil, something like that can be just that thing we're talking about. It's not like you need a major overhaul. Like your sex life might not even be broken. It just might need a little tweak.
Or you want to get closer to your partner. I think that massage is a really wonderful way. You know, that tantra practitioners have something called a yoni massage or a linga massage. And it's basically a vulva or a penis massage. And the idea behind it is that the person who is giving the massage is just giving it and not there to receive anything that evening. And the person who is receiving it, all they have to do is receive pleasure and do not have to reciprocate in any way. And then the next evening they switch. And it's like when you know that that's your evening and that there is no goal to the evening except to receive pleasure, it really is sort of revolutionary. You kind of look at your arousal in a different way, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea because also sometimes we're not even comfortable with receiving. I know I was like this, like even when partners like, I love when someone performs oral sex on me, my favorite thing. However, there's still those moments and I've had to train myself to be like, oh, well, I guess right after, you know, he's done going down on me, then I'm going to go down on him because I'm going to owe him. I owe you something. If you're giving me, I got to give to you. Or worse yet, we can't even receive. I can't even say this person wants to do it and settle into it. So the idea of splitting it up and saying tonight's just about you, tomorrow's about me, gives you the freedom to settle in and to just feel and be embodied. And by that, I mean in your body, connecting your mind and body. Because so many of us, how we started talking about tonight, is that we're so in our head. We're so worried about everything else. But the pleasure that we're receiving.
Yeah. And because we're in such a weird time right now, I think that getting our sex drive back is really, really challenging. And doing something like this that doesn't have penetrative sex or even orgasm as a as an end result is a great way to really sort of reinvigorate that part of you and start to rediscover it. And then maybe apply it in new ways. It'll just be, it's a way to shake things up and also a way to really become even more intimate with your partner.
Yeah.
I think
so too. And I think now after we've been in COVID and for almost 4 or 5 months right now, and it's the summertime and we are just wanting to, this is what I'm hearing from all of you and my friends. They're like, enough already. I'm over it. So I know that might sound silly, but for the summer sex, you know, it could even just be about trying it something different, having sex in the garage, taking showers and you get hot. What's one more thing for summer?
Oh, there's washing the car together.
Ooh.
See, now you can bring the car outside anywhere. I mean, even if you have an apartment, you know, just get that garden hose and wash the car together and maybe wear something that'll stick a little bit and, you know, play with the suds and get really sort of sensual and sexy with the stream of water and really let yourself go. That's a task that can be made very sensual and it will cool you off in the summer and then you can go back in and dry each other off and then go at it.
You got to wash your car anyway, right?
You got to wash it anyway because, you know,
multi-purpose.
Mine's getting gross.
Exactly. Yeah. Mine too. I was just like, oh God, I realized that my hose in my backyard does stretch to the front. And then I was like, I don't even remember how to wash my car. But maybe I should have a date, invite someone over to wash my car.
There you go.
You are full of ideas.
You little seductress. Little minx. Seductress.
I am. It's true. El Chase, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I love you and I appreciate you so much. Check out her book, Curvy Girl Sex, and The El Chase Everywhere. One more thing I want to mention. I would be remiss if I didn't mention your legendary site, which was down for a while because Tumblr porn couldn't be a thing. But she started a site called Lady Cheeky 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago next month. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it is really like it was voted by Cosmo Magazine, the most female-friendly.
Cosmo, Huffington Post, Glamour, the most female-friendly porn site.
Right. So people, you guys are always asking me, and it's really, Elle's an excellent curator. If you check out her Instagram and her social media, she trusts and knows what is kind of hot. And so the Tumblr thing, it's ladycheeky.com.
Yeah.
It's super erotic images that are more geared towards women, but a lot of men like it too. How do you explain that process of it's a lot of GIFs, right? It's not necessarily videos.
It's a lot of GIFs and a lot of, photography of what I like to go for is anything that turns me on. And usually what turns me on is something that's very passion driven and where you can feel the desire and you can feel the attraction between people. And it's not just sort of cut and dry sex, although there is some of that because everybody has moods. But it's used a lot for couples to look at together to get aroused and also talk about what they like when they, what they see in it. So, so that's another way to sort of break the monotony and sort of build up your sex drive.
I love that. I'm so glad it's back online. And one more thing, I have a question that just came up. And then what is the most, if you could say, popular image that's ever, is there like one image that through the course of time or one genre of image? Yes. Tell me.
There is one little video that gets hundreds of thousands and I will post it again. And I will post it actually on my Instagram.
Okay.
It is a man giving his girlfriend kisses on her neck, and it goes on for a very long time, and people go nuts.
That's it
is
it.
The
kisses,
sexiest thing I've ever seen. Yes.
Kisses
and every
on
once
neck.
In a while, I will play it. This person who filmed it only did two videos, and this is one of them. And it's on Vimeo, so you can find it, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. So I'll post it on Instagram.
On Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll post it there. So
and then I
want to
share it. And then I want to look at it after the show and get turned on.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, El Chase, for being here.
I so appreciate
you always. Thank you for your time. You can find me online at sexwithemily.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at sexwithemily. Find me Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Sirius XM Stars for even more sex talk, calls, and interviews. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. And don't forget, share the love, like, subscribe, and share. Because if you enjoyed the show, your partner or lover or best friend will too.